We're studying in the Sermon on the Mount, chapter 5, the Beatitudes. Several years ago in the Middle East, a tragic event happened. In fact, I've just about forgotten about it, but I called it to mind that there was an airplane of the government of Iraq that unleashed a missile that crippled a United States ship. I forget what year. It was before 91. This cost the Americans 37 lives. It was an unwarranted attack, and it was a seemingly unprovoked attack. And I suppose for a while we wondered what would happen as a result of that attack. Would our country cause a war to be precipitated? Would we retaliate? However, despite the loss of life and the crippling of a very expensive ship, would it be possible for the two nations to come together? I don't think there was ever a coming together or meeting of the minds, but at least for a while, there was not immediate retaliation. And it could have gone either way, and a lot of things like that can go either way. And for a while, attempts were made to discuss the matter and to resolve it at the discussion table. And rather than to discuss it on a military battlefield. We know, though, that years followed years, there came Desert Storm. In fact, we've been involved with this latest event so long over there, sometimes I forget about Desert Storm, Desert Shield, those names. Then the shock and awe, and still today there's no peace there. And I'm not trying to get discussion as to whether we need to be at war or not at war. Nations are doing that. We elect people to make those decisions. Sometimes we agree, sometimes we don't agree. But volatile situations like this sometimes arise in our lives. Not nearly as intense, not nearly as tragic, but still many times they're nevertheless intense to us, and they're real because they're happening in our lives. And whenever we have a problem of any magnitude with someone else, we're uptight about that and we have difficulty. Sometimes it might be with a neighbor. Boundary lines with neighbors seems like it's always been an area that can be easily disputed if we're not careful. Sometimes problems arise, disputes with family members and their health. Sometimes maybe they don't come out for long and they're left to simmer. Husbands and wives, difficulty with one another and that needs to be resolved if it's there. With children, with the young people sometimes. Sometimes folks put their foot down when they need to maybe ease up a little. Or with a brother and sister in Christ. I've seen that over the years. If you've not been involved in a situation like that with the church, feel relieved because it's taken place in a number of churches that I've known around town. I've never had it to be right in the middle of one, but it can be very, very intense. But in situations like that, how do Christians react? How do they act? What was a way of peace thought about? Was a way of reconciliation thought about? Or were people just wanting to agitate and retaliate rather than to conciliate? Blessed are the peacemakers, for they should be called the children of God. Studying those Beatitudes that have to do with the attitudes of those who will be in Jesus' kingdom. His apostles were concerned, all were concerned during his lifetime upon this earth because many expected the phrase from the Old Testament, the promise that there would be one to sit upon David's throne for it to be a literal earthly throne. Even the apostles, down to the very time that Jesus was going back into heaven, wanted to know, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? Yet the kingdom that Jesus talked about was an earthly kingdom. It was the church. It was the church. There are many things said in this sermon. There are a number of beatitudes or attitudes that Jesus says will be blessed in His kingdom. There are a number of scriptures elsewhere in God's Word. Romans 12:18 we looked at last week. It would be possible, as much as lieth in you, be at peace with all people. Sometimes it's not possible, but let us not be the one who is at fault. Hebrews 12:14 says that we are to follow peace with all men. Romans 14:19 says, let us therefore follow after things which make for peace. You know, a lot of times it's, I remember back in school, sometimes we did things just to aggravate somebody. We riding on a bus and you do something just to aggravate somebody who was sitting in front of you. You knew it was going to aggravate them, but it didn't matter. Because, you know, you were a kid and you did kid things. But you know, some of those things continue into older age. We get older when we need to be a little bit more mature about those things. Seeing the multitudes, he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. You know, being a peacemaker is not just living with the absence of strife, but it's also living in a way that will promote calmness and promote peace. They've been talking on the radio. You couldn't miss it if you wanted to, unless you lived in a monastery. About some folks just seem to draw trouble. Some folks seem to draw trouble. Get into a situation and problems arise. Just happens. The three relationships that we need to consider, we considered some last week. A relationship between man and God. When we sin against God, there is no peace between us and God because sin separates from God. Adam and Eve found that out real quick, didn't they? Had all that paradise before them. Everything they could want to eat except one that God said they must not. And it was the forbidden fruit that Adam and Eve, by which Adam and Eve got into trouble. Because, you see, they had power of choice. We do too, don't we? We do too. And other folks around us have power of choice. I think back on the times when my kids were being raised, primarily by Janice, I'm afraid, since I was preaching and teaching. But during that time, we make decisions for them. But there comes a time when everybody makes their own decision. We always have that power of choice, and we hope that they make good decisions, and hopefully we have taught them, and that God's Word will have its go with them. There are relationships involving man with himself. Sometimes we're just not at peace with ourselves. We're not satisfied with ourselves. And there may be another Christian, someone else, or a family member, like I mentioned earlier, that we're not satisfied with. We want to continue a study on this blessed are the peacemakers this morning, look at a few other aspects of it. Well, what are some of the ways that strife gets started? What are some of the origins and the causes of strife? Well, what does God's Word say about it? Well, the book of James, chapter 3, James says when you have problems arising, and a lot of those arise because of man's own wisdom, doing things our own way. And James says, you know, this wisdom doesn't descend from above. This wisdom of not saying what needs to be said to encourage someone, but rather saying something that will stir up trouble. He said this wisdom that causes that is earthly. is sensual is devilish. James 3, 13 and following. And in Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16 through 19, the writer of Proverbs talks about those things that God hates. And among those is this one, a sower of discord. Strife just doesn't happen, you know. It has a start. It has a starting place. A problem. A lot of times I'll be watching a ball game and you see somebody foul somebody and then you see somebody retaliate or somebody hit them with an elbow and then somebody come back and hit them. And what happens? The referee only sees the retaliation. And sometimes you wonder, hey, that had a start somewhere and it started right before you called that foul. So there's a cause. There's an origin. There's a start. In 1 Corinthians 3, verses 1, 2, and 3, Paul wrote, and there he talked about the church at Corinth and the number of problems they had. And he said, you know, the many problems you're having is because you have not grown up spiritually. You are carnal. They're fleshly minded. And there were things that were not making for peace. They were not babes in Christ, but he said that they were acting like they were. They walked as men. 1 Corinthians 3 and 3. They walked as men. Someone has said there's no trouble as bitter as family trouble. And I did see that one time at a church. These were, quote, Christian ladies, and they were sisters physically. And they were angry at one another. And it erupted one day in a grocery store. The grocery owner knew one of the elders of the church. One of the elders had to be called to break it up. As a result of that, there were several discussions. And there was a withdrawing of fellowship with one of those ladies because of the way she acted. Not ready to reconcile with her sister. They lived side by side, next door neighbors. One of them built a monstrous fence. Wooden fence. It won't even see the sister get out of a car when she drove under a carport. That's terrible, isn't it? But it happens. It happens. It happens. And sometimes it happens about like the problem that John saw in 3 John verses 9 and 11. There was a man by the name of Diotrephes. And in writing to that church, or to the person there, I forget which one, but in writing to them, John said, you know, says there's a fellow there who loves to have the preeminence. Number uno. If you know Spanish, that's all I know. Number uno. Number one. It's my way or the highway, Dad used to say. He didn't say highway, we didn't have highways. I take the road. My way or no way. Rule or ruin. That's the way I want it to happen. And many times that's why there are church problems. The time to nip church problems in the bud is when there's no bud at all. When there's no bud at all. Because many times when this gets started, it's difficult to stop. 1 Corinthians 1, the church at Corinth again mentioned them. The problem they had was they were exalting human leadership. You remember what the household of Chloe reported to Paul, that there were a number of difficulties in the city of Corinth, a city that Paul had spent 18 months there. And you might think, well, an apostle directed by the Holy Spirit in what he was saying and the people weren't paying attention? 1 Corinthians 10, now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same things, that there be no divisions or schisms among you, that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind, the same judgment. It's been clear to me of you, my brethren, by them which are the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. Now, what was the nature of those, Paul? Now, this I say, that every one of you say, I'm of Paul. I'm of Apollos. I'm of Cephas. I'm of Christ. Is Christ divided? You ask a series of questions, rhetorical. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in my name? No, and Paul had a thought. He said, you know, I'm thankful I didn't baptize a whole lot of you folks. You know, and that's, you kind of say, well, Paul, what are you talking about? Well, there would be more people saying that they were of Paul. Paul said, you know, these are good men you're talking about. Paul, of course, was a good man seeking to live for Christ. Apollos has been there, Peter or Cephas. And, of course, Christ, nothing wrong with being of Christ, except it was dividing the church. Except it was a way of making trouble. There were not enough peacemakers around. Not enough peacemakers. Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers. They shall be called the children of God. You know, sometimes people are placed upon a pedestal. One person said about folks placed on a pedestal, said you need to be careful because they got farther to fall. We need to be careful about placing people, preachers, teachers, somebody that baptized us over the Word of God itself. Paul didn't want anything to get in way of the gospel. I don't want you calling me after my name, Paul says. I don't want you following Apollos. He didn't have anything against Apollos as a teacher. Or Peter as a teacher, he surely didn't have anything against Christ, but he had a thing about the lack of peace. Sometimes binding opinion. Should the Lord, I've heard this, this hasn't been discussed in many congregations I've been at in recent years, but many years ago, there'd be discussion about whether the Lord's Supper should be before the sermon or after the sermon. And folks got in an argument at business meetings. Somebody won't change it. Oh, we've been doing that. That's what they did in the first century. I remember that. And we need to be doing what they did in the first century. But when it comes to a matter of opinions of the time or whatever, Romans 14 talks about a problem that they had back at that time where people who had worshipped idols became Christians. And before, when they worshipped idols, they offered animal sacrifices in their worship. And consequently, later, when they became a Christian, they didn't want to have anything to do with those animals that had been offered. Because, you see, after they were offered and sacrificed, they were sold out on the market. They didn't want to have anything to do with them. Because they thought back to idol worship whenever they thought of those particular animals that had been sacrificed. And so there were people in Rome, there were people in Corinth also, 1 Corinthians 8, who had difficulty with that. And Paul said, look, you brethren that didn't worship idols, have a little bit more patience, be peacemakers. You know, I know you're saying, you ought not feel that way. You know, there's nothing in that meat, you know, just because it was offered. But see, it was causing their brother to stumble. And Paul said, don't place a stumbling block there. Don't place a stumbling block. And I could hear what they'd say, you know, picky, 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 you know. Because, but he said, hey, it's not worth it. Romans 14, verse 19 says, Paul wrote, said, let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace. Follow after the things which make for peace. We all belong to the same Lord. We need to show brotherly love and kindness. And that will help us to make peace. In Romans 14, 12, that same context we're talking about, the eating of meat. Every one of us shall give an account of himself before God. Then another, next verse says, let no man put a stumbling block. We need stepping stones, don't we? We need somebody leading the way to a Christ-like life. Someone who will seek to make peace. Nobel Peace Prize is given out lot of times to seemingly to folks that don't make peace, but for the most part, they're looking for someone who has done something that has to do with peace. Proverbs 26:20, another cause of strife can be slander. Here's what the writer, Proverbs, says. These little terse statements, 26 chapter Proverbs, verse 20, says, and it's interesting because it speaks to folks who've grown up in a rural area or grown up in hard times. And where no wood is, there the fire goes out. But what's the point? So where there is no talebearer, the strife ceases. The strife ceases. We used to have a little game, youth leaders there at the old Board of Church of Christ many years ago we'd be at a kind of a youth gathering and they would start a statement and tell somebody down here at one end of a line a certain thing. And then they had to tell it to the person next to them. And it went on down the line, and finally you got to the end of the line, and the adult asked the young person there, what did they tell you? And what they heard there at the end of the line had nothing to do with what was started over here to begin with. Gossip. And a lot of times that happens. That's why a lot of people use the word alleged when they talk about crime, possible crime. Allegedly did this. Because you can get sued for that. in criminal cases and civil cases. So problems arise and problems are resolved, and that's the best way to handle it. Because sometimes memories remain and problems are rekindled. I forget now who it was, but my daddy had something against one of his brothers. I don't know whether that was ever resolved, but every time we discussed that brother, I knew that was going to come up. They had poor upbringing. Didn't have a whole lot of schooling and didn't have a whole lot of money. And maybe there was something that had to do with money. I don't remember. But he did. He did. 2 Timothy 2:14, 23, Paul deals with Timothy. Timothy's a fairly young fellow. And he says, you know, says folks are going to ask you questions at times, Timothy, and you just need not to pay attention to the fact that the question has been asked. Some questions don't deserve an answer. He said, some of them are just foolish and unlearned. They're words to no profit. Don't get involved. They're foolish as to timeliness. They're foolish as not deserving an answer. Jesus had questions asked of him, didn't he? Sometimes. He wouldn't handle a question at all. He'd ask another question. He wouldn't get trapped with that. How to make peace between man and himself and God? Well, sin prevents peace, so we need to get rid of the problem of sin. Romans 10:15 says the gospel is the gospel of peace. The gospel of peace. We need to teach that which will promote and produce peace. The gospel of peace in the chapter 15 of Romans, verse 33, we read of the God of peace. Isaiah 9:6 refers to Jesus as the Prince of Peace. Colossians 3:15, to that church, the Apostle Paul says, we've been called to peace. In Romans 14:17, regarding the church, he said it's the kingdom of peace. For 2 Corinthians 13:11, to those who were not living in peace, Paul said, live in peace. 2 Peter 3:14 says to be found in peace. There are some things in the Bible about peace, aren't there? 1 Corinthians 1:10, speak same thing, same mind, have peace. Quick attention to problem is another way to resolve a problem. Quick attention to it. The murmuring of the Grecian widows in the book of Acts chapter 6. We don't hear a whole lot about that. They didn't write a whole chapter about it. Luke didn't. Because it was noticed and it was handled. And it was handled immediately. There needs to be liberty in areas of opinion. When somebody's got a different opinion about something, let's don't make a federal case out of it. Is that what they say? Don't make a federal case out of it. We're going to have differences of opinions about certain things. Should yard be made? I've heard this. Should yard be mowed once a week or every 10 days? What about the baptistry? I've heard folks that he doesn't need a mural. He does need a mural. We don't need any curtains. Yes, we do need curtains. Well, you can have disagreements. And you can think in your mind, you know, where do they come from? They just get off the turnip truck or whatever you might think. Don't say it. Some people have different ideas because of the way they grew up. If you don't grow up with anything, you're going to be holding on to stuff. My daddy held on to stuff. I still hold on to stuff that Jess, which I get rid of. If I bought it, I don't like to let it go, even though I don't need it. Because the time when we grew up, we didn't have a whole lot, and we still don't have a whole lot necessarily, but what we got, we won't keep. Sometimes we don't need to. We need to have fervent love for one another above all things. Peter said, 1 Peter 4:8, above all things, have fervent love among yourselves, for love covers a multitude of sins. Sometimes and I used to wonder, what in the world does that mean? Well, it means if somebody says something, and you have love for that brother or sister in Christ or physical brother and sister, it's not going to bother you like it would if you didn't love them. You didn't care about them. And you don't intentionally say things that inflict harm if you love somebody. But in case something is said, if we love somebody, we overlook it. And we move on. We don't make a big deal out of it. Read 1 Corinthians 13. It needs to be read, you know, after the wedding ceremony as well as during the wedding ceremony. Love suffers long. Love bears all things, believes all things, and love endures. What about the promise to the peacemakers, and we'll close? They shall be called the children of God. They shall be called the children of God. In the beginning, God made man in His own image. I don't know what all that entails. It entails a whole lot more than probably I'll ever be able to understand. God's character is taken into account. God is the author of peace, having made peace through the blood of Christ. One born of God then reflects the image of God. And when we're born of Christ, when we have that rebirth by baptism into Christ, we're born anew. You know, I mentioned too last week, I believe it was, that we see the parent in the child. Do people see Christ in us? Is that what we're showing forth? Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. If you're here this morning and you're not a child of God, you've not expressed your faith in God, you have not expressed your faith in Jesus Christ as the Son of God. Why don't you come today and confess that great statement that I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and believing, I repent of my sins, and believing, I'll be baptized as commanded to have my sins washed away, to have forgiveness of sins, and I'll rise to walk in newness of life. And Acts 2:47 says that the Lord added daily to the church such as should be saved. This morning, if you're a Christian, you desire prayers, wish to rededicate your life to Christ, whatever you need, would you come as we stand?